B-Pod Studios.
An invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We just do. We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
At 9 a.m., you big fat pig. Just keep stuffing your face, Fred.
Fritos aren't the worst thing you could eat.
Not the best either. Just keep stuffing your fat face.
You ever had Frito pie before?
No, but it sounds good.
It's amazing. What they do is they take a bag of Fritos, they slice open the top of it. So they lay it on its back, slice open the top of it, take a bunch of chili, scoop it on the top of it, take a bunch of cheese, a bunch of onions. Boom, Frito pie. And you eat it right out of the bag. Good. You eat it right out of the bag. And sometimes they sell them in those smaller bags like the one you have. And they give you a spoon and you just eat it out that way. It is good stuff.
Yeah, I would eat a Frito pie.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Rich, speaking of chili,
I can't wait to see this.
Fred, I'm only doing this because the public has demanded our expertise.
I've heard the cries.
Let's go to Fart Court. There is something hot off the press. A trial where something apparently stinks. And they need.
Jan tells me this was ripped from the news.
Ripped straight from the headlines. A trial that is blowing away mass America. Everyone wants to know what's going on with the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
And by the way, if you dismiss this and go, hey, you're a sports talk radio show, I defy you to go onto YouTube and start watching this trial and not watch at least a half an hour of it. It's fascinating.
So I clicked on one video, and all of a sudden, like, everything that comes up in my Facebook timeline and everything that comes up in my Instagram, it all has to do with the Johnny Depp trial.
So they go to Johnny Depp. They're like, is it true that you drink whiskey some mornings? He goes, well, I'm to understand happy hour is anytime. And then they go, this box, is this a box that you carry cocaine in? He goes, I don't know, but I guess you could fit a lot of cocaine in it. Like, the trial is ridiculous.
Well, then there's, of course, the feces that was left on the pillow, which we played that great song.
Which I don't like to think about.
No.
She's an attractive woman, and it's just...
fairly terrifying to be quite
honest. It's just gross, but... because it's not a criminal trial, so they're like, is it true you drink whiskey some mornings? And he's like, I'm of the opinion happy hours anytime.
You know who I think every woman on my Facebook timeline doesn't like? Amber Heard.
Yeah.
For sure. The women have all decided you're wrong. I don't know if... Listen, I haven't watched enough of it to figure out if the evidence is strong enough. All I know is
have
the,
audio
women have, the women of America have already made a decision.
They have audio of her being really mean to them.
Well, also of her saying no one's going to believe you if you tell everyone. And
yeah,
all that
but it's
doesn't
too,
mean it didn't happen. I don't know.
It is two psychos. Just, and Johnny Depp, by the way, was not always this way.
Well, she did have a picture, too, that she brought in as evidence that he was passed out, and it's him in a chair, and I'm like, dude, I got a million pictures like me like that, just sleeping.
Johnny Depp is a complete alcoholic drug addict. There's no two ways about it. But he's just, during this trial, just like, yeah. Like, and then they're like, okay.
Doesn't mean I abuse anybody.
I
like to drink a lot.
Yeah, like I drink like a lot.
Yeah, but Fred, this is something I don't know if you were sent, but I was sent.
I was sent.
And I'm not kidding you. I think that I was sent this no more than like 24 times, including from my own wife.
Really?
An article at MSN.com titled, Someone Farted on the Stand During the Johnny Depp Trial, and There's Video. Oh, my goodness. MSN has picked this up. They've picked up the scent. I've also gone to Yahoo. There's something about that as well. All of them going to the same video of a woman who was a friend of Johnny Depp's. And I guess that this woman got dismissed from court because I don't know. I guess she wasn't telling the truth, or maybe just didn't like what they were smelling,
or maybe she made a mistake,
or maybe that's the case.
But, I don't like when these are female, by the way.
But Fred, her name is who cares what her name is? But let's take a listen. Is this indeed a fart?
I don't like the ones because I don't believe women fart, so not guilty. All right, here we go.
And can you just describe for those of us who have no idea, like myself, what does Arnica cream look like?
Sorry, that was me. It's kind of like a white emollient.
Well, she's a classy babe. I mean, yeah. You could have.
Didn't even skip a beat. No self. Just, yeah, it was me.
That was the Queen of England. She's notorious for that.
Yeah.
Hey, pardon me. I just loudly broke wind. That was me.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I smell a rat. That fart is way too loud, way too clean for me to believe that's a real fart.
You think she had a whoop head cushion?
I think that somehow that video got picked up and was taken as truth when there was no further investigation. Every article links to the same TikTok video of this woman sitting there.
So maybe when she goes, that was me, Rich, if I may step in, I've not done my research on this, but maybe she said that was me, and then they thought this is a prime way to Rickroll her.
Put shenanigans inside there. Yahoo! MSN.com.
This is why you're not the court of record.
Ballsack Sports.
Don't drag them into this.
That's right. You can't question their integrity.
Next thing you're going to say is Elephantitis Athletics has got a problem.
Have you all been duped? I did some digging, and I found the name of this lady. Her name is Georgina Gina Deuters. Did she make a Pooters? We found the actual raw video, and let's see if she indeed farted.
And can you just describe for those of us who have no idea, like myself, what does Arnica cream look like?
Sorry, that was me.
It's missing!
I stand by it. Women don't fart.
Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty!
Oh, shame on the mainstream media outlets for letting this one go.
See, that's... Wait, listen to that. Oh, come on. That's... How are you all falling for that?
And she would be so nonplussed after farting on an internationally broadcast trial.
Right. How can you be, like, so composed? No, come on. That's also not the fart of a 115-pound woman.
Yeah, they don't fart.
That's a little more... Now, Fred, we have learned already that there were real farts in the Johnny Depp trial. We did learn that, of course, if anyone's going to fart, it's going to be Johnny Depp himself.
Yeah.
Seeing that he kind of drinks himself into farting. We've done that before.
Yeah. His colon is in no shape.
We have indeed heard that before.
It was a photograph of the bed, our bed. And on my side of the bed was human fecal matter. So I understood why it wasn't a good time to go down there. My initial response to that was, I mean, I laughed.
Oh, that's not the fart clip. That's him just talking about feces. Feces and farts.
Yes, thank you for playing that.
Yes.
Now's not the time to go downstairs. Now is the time to romp.
You would
do some romping in that bed?
Yes. The evidence is missing. I don't know where it went. Bailiff, I don't know.
Really?
Well, Exhibit 17B seems to have gone missing.
You'd actually take that out of the bed?
I do. I'm not admitting to anything, but you bring some things into evidence.
Oof.
Now I'll have to do my own investigation.
Well, we found the isolated fart.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay, that was the actual fart, I think, in the Johnny Depp trial. That is wrong. So all of you, unfortunately, now, am I the only one? We have found it.
Well, I mean, you cracked the case.
You needed the extra evidence. I was going one way, and then you entered into evidence exhibit B, and I was fine.
You come to the court. You best bring your evidence. We will investigate. If anything, this is about integrity here on Full Court.
There was an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia called Who Pooped the Bed? And they bring the poop into a laboratory, and this guy's going through it, and they're like, what do you think? And he's like, oh, I'm not a scientist. He goes, I'm not a scientist. I just like playing with it.
Here's the original.
Yes,
part,
yes, yes.
Mr. Depp, do you recognize this as another mirror on which you wrote with your in blood and paint after your finger injury in March of 2015?
Yes, sir. That's in the same bathroom.
Your Honor, move for admission of Exhibit 375 and request permission to publish.
No objection, Your Honor. 375 in evidence.
Yeah, that's a fart. That's
requesting
a fart.
Permission to take the chair home?
Really?
Not a fart. This is a fart.
No objection, Your Honor.
Yeah. The way it like was very inquisitive, too.
Yes.
Much like the cross.
Question mark?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your Honor, I must take this chair into evidence to investigate further.
By the way, you know what? Someone's right. We should actually contact her and let her know that she's been found not guilty. Do you know what she's going through this morning? Because the world, Yahoo and MSN, is running articles about how she farted on the stand, and it is a grotesque fart. Like, that is one. That is a big fart.
Yeah, she should sue the company.
Maybe she should do that. You know what? We should do that. I will find out her Twitter address.
It would finally legitimize this whole bit. Finally, we can say it with pride at radio conferences.
That we have freed somebody. This is like when someone's been falsely accused and spent their life in jail.
We're the Kim Kardashians of farts.
That's right.
Meek Mill's innocent.
That's right. We will free you.
Oh, God.
Free you. And this will be the sound you hear as you fly towards your freedom.
The last thing you hear before the lights go out.
The most I've ever been disappointed by my family, and this, my family as a whole, and this might be true, is when we first started playing that, I like was just like couldn't stop laughing, like that crazy laugh. And we were at my parents' house, and I've got my computer out, and I went to my kids and my wife and my parents, I'm like, you got to hear this. And I played that song, and none of them even cracked a smile. And I went, I need some time away from you. I need some time away from you. If you don't find this funny, I just don't know if I have a place in this family. All right. Well, well done, Rich. I mean, if anything, we're fighting for freedom now.
Yes, we are.
And now finally we can hold our head up high when we tell everyone about our bits at Fart Court. All right.
Yeah,
that's
right, Gary. Her name was Rocky Suarez. And she had the kind of cleavage you just wanted to motorboat till the cows came home.
Is that actually in that that book?
I wouldn't be surprised. It's an erotic thriller. Set the stage, the Super Bowl. The breast, huge. The sex, sexy.
It's the best kind.
Oh, it goes.
Everyone's saying, yeah. Well, welcome TNR to Springfield with that last
right.
one.
That's right.
That's
right. It'll be a wild ride.
Rocky Suarez needed the best sports bras money could buy. They used to call her Black-Eyed Suarez because her cans would nail her in the face while she jogged. I'm being descriptive.
Well done.
I'm setting the tone.
Black-Eyed Suarez.
Yeah. While investigating the murder of the quarterback, Rocky Suarez couldn't help but take some time out to bang. Now here we go.
That's the name of the second book.
Here we go.
No, taking time out to bang.
Taking time out to bang. Chapter two.
This one's for the ladies. So say this guy, he looks like Fabio.
Right.
Rocky Suarez has got huge cans.
What a mess.
So they start making out and hands roam. All right.
In the nude.
Fabio's shaved chest was no match to Rocky Suarez's long amber fingernail.
All right. Thank you.
As she scratched and scratched.
This is becoming very intense.
It's very, very intense.
She drew blood, and Fabio looked down and said, Suarez, your animal. It's like the Hungry Like the Wolf video. Except they weren't in the woods. They were in bed having sex. All right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I wish you guys were my professors in college.
Brad, who are we if we cannot judge people?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Mitch. My name is Fred Toucher, and I want to say that I am very pleasantly surprised by this Bruins team since the offseason. I've been panning their offseason moves. And listen, not to be a party pooper, but if they lose in the second round, it's not like, you know, we're going to be cracking champagne for this team. And I still think changes are going to be made. But nonetheless,
this will save, I think, certain jobs if they win this round.
They still haven't signed Sweeney, so
I think that if they win this round, Don Sweeney's job is safe.
Yeah, it's just if they lose in the second, it's just another second round loss. But let's enjoy it. Let's just enjoy what this is for now.
No question.
So, I had made a statement on Friday where, like, I said, you know, this was a team that, you know, we haven't been really paying attention to. And then some people are like, see, they don't care about hockey. And then, first of all, F you about that.
Also, that's somebody who obviously doesn't know the history of the show.
Yes, stop. But you have to admit, even if you were a diehard Bruins fan, if you were doing a sports talk radio show in town, the Bruins were not the story. First of all, the Patriots are everything. And second of all, this Celtics team is on the come. So people are... You know, they're on the way up. People are very much more excited about the Celtics than they are the Bruins. It's a fact. Now, if the Bruins win this round, now we're getting into unexpected territory. Now we're getting into the thing. But first of all, as a sports talk radio host, you're following everything. I mean, you're obviously in talking about it and talking to players and analysts and Cassidy. So stop with this, like, we weren't following it. You know what I mean. It just wasn't the story. They weren't the story this year. They weren't the main topic of conversation.
Well, they didn't do anything to garner that.
No, they didn't.
Discussion.
In fact, they screwed up the offseason. They still did. Ullmark's not your goaltender in this, so that's bad. That was a bad signing. And by Swayman now playing in the playoffs, that was a bad signing. You cannot justify that signing. They signed him for 4 years. You could have gotten a veteran backup to not play in the playoffs. Right, so there's nothing you can say to convince me that was a good signing. And believe me, people with ties to the Bruins, not people with the Bruins, but people with ties with the Bruins, they try to justify it. I'm not buying any of it. They made a lot of bad signings this offseason. Also, when I said, you know, I don't know, I'm not around the team since COVID, meaning that. I used to go to practices. I would go and talk to the players. I was around the team. Not every day, but I mean, I did it on occasion, and I just felt like I was connected to the team. I mean, enough where we got Bergeron to prank the midday show. I mean, like, I knew the guys, kind of. And since COVID, I would, yeah, dude, that's the way it is. I'm not allowed, or, you know, and then... they were a disappointment. So it's just, it's not the same. So Super Bruins fans, get a little bit of context to what you get. You complain to me about. There's not a lot of you, but enough to annoy me. And so I am very pleasantly surprised. What has happened is what we said, which what we all said before the series, is that one of the few chances you had in this series was if Swayman comes in and gets hot. Now, Swayman hasn't been like Tim Thomas level, but he did make timely saves. Now, and the performance of Clifton and the rest of the defense.
Forbert, those
two in particular. Because if I told you Clifton was going to lead the team in ice time in a playoff game against a superior team, you would have told me I was crazy.
Loss.
So, I mean, they can't perform any better than that, and that's awesome. They deserve all the accolades in the world. Now, I want everyone to get healthy. They're better. I don't know how they can duplicate this.
I think that's the most important thing. What we saw yesterday, I think you're asking a lot for Clifton and Forbert to do the same stuff on the road.
But
that's crazy. Yeah, that's a crazy ask. I think you need Lindholm, who by all accounts has improved. I mean, I was following Ty Anderson during game three, and Anderson is saying, Lindholm's up here on the ninth floor walking around. You would think that if he really had severe concussion symptoms, he wouldn't be in a place where you'd have screaming, you know, flashing lights and screaming fans.
We're always surprised by that. But that is correct. You can't expect them to do this again. But one thing that two things happened in that game that are very pro, short of the win, of course, that are very pro Bruins. One, your goaltender outplayed the opposing goaltender. The first two goals that Ranta gave up were bad goals. He should have gotten those. Swayman did not give up a bad goal in game four. He did in game three.
No, two badly blown defensive coverages cost him both goals yesterday.
So you had the advantage in goal, which as we know in the NHL playoffs is huge. And B, you frustrated this team. They lost all their composure.
Well, what you got.
And their coach lost his composure.
You got Marchand at his absolute best. Like, if you press the NOS button on Brad Marchand, you got it all yesterday. Because not only was he scoring goals with two of them, he had three assists, and he did that thing that no one in the league can do better than him, and that is get under the skin of the other team. And you had a guy who absolutely lost his mind during the game. Lost it to the point where I think that he knew at the end of it was the open net goal. Yeah, the open net goal at the very end.
Empty netter at the end.
Brad Marchand was going down there. D'Angelo throws his stick in order to try to block it.
When was the last time you saw that? Honestly, think about all the hockey games you've watched.
I can't remember.
I can't remember a time where I've seen an opposing player throw his stick at a guy in front of him. And D'Angelo was, 20 feet behind him?
He completely lost his composure.
I've never seen that.
It was funny if you didn't see it. We're going to talk about the same thing, is that D'Angelo has had problems with saying racist crap in the past.
He got suspended from, I think it was one of the OHL. He got suspended from one of his teams for several weeks.
And he's been jettisoned around the league, even though he's a very good player, because it's hard to have him.
He's an excellent offensive defenseman that has his personality. He's gotten into fights with teammates. I mean, he was, before Adam Fox showed up, he was the best defenseman the Rangers had on their roster. And then he got into a fight with a backup goaltender, and the Rangers benched him and just waited for someone to make them a trade offer to get him off the roster.
Right, so this is a guy that obviously is not all there that can snap. But so he goes, like, they slowed it down, and obviously he goes, like, hey, Marchand, you got a big nose.
Which just is the whole thing on his, like, holds his nose
which
and pulls
is,
it out.
You know, like, wow, like, how'd you think of that? And then it looks like Marchand goes, oh, yeah, you're a huge racist.
Yeah, he goes, you're racist. He made sure that, like, he said it with big enough words that you could read his lips. You're racist. You're racist.
And so do you have the audio of his father?
I do.
So this is from back when the kid was getting in trouble for saying racist stuff. Here's his brilliant father. Who,
you know, in a situation where he got suspended, I would have got suspended too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he probably hears me.
You see yourself saying maybe some of the same things that he has said?
Every day. And not that it's right, it's just it's how I was raised and things I'm used to from my upbringing. You know, you say, Sal, you say the South Philly things.
Don't blame your city.
Well, first of all you have to do is get down there and lie. And just say, yeah, we've talked about it and, you know, we've all changed our ways. But the justification that, I mean, again, is this like 1700? Like, you've never left South Philly? I mean, there's TV and the internet. You know, the internet's been around for a while. Like this, your only exposure to people is South Philly? That is the most ludicrous argument. First of all, why would you admit that? Especially when you're defending your child. Like, listen, if you're David Duke or something and you want to prance around feeling like, you know, and spread white supremacy, that's one thing. But if your kid's trying to make a job, get a job in the NHL, and you're out there popping off about how racist you are, I mean, what an idiot. And second of all, you're from South Philly.
Oh, well, that explains
it. Oh, and by the way, if you're in South Philly, you got to love that comment, too.
And it was great because the crowd was going nuts every time D'Angelo touched the puck. I mean, first of all, who did he go up to? Was it Lazar? And he like started like pushing him in the throat. And Lazar's like, dude, what the hell?
That's right.
He's like, what are you doing? And he just continued to try to pick fights. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do this.
No, we're ahead of
the maniac. The,
yeah, what are you doing? But again, the guy's from South Philly. I mean, that's an excuse for everything. You know, in South Philly, we would just murder. I mean, that was just the way it was. I mean, we'd just stab you in the throat.
Do we give Bruce Cassidy credit for putting back the perfection
line?
Sure,
we do.
Or do we criticize him for not doing it earlier?
No.
That lineup did very well, especially at the end of the season. They went on a pretty good run at the end of the season. No. But you give him all the credit in the world for putting the perfection line back together, because that's been the difference.
Yeah, it has been.
Well, and also I like that the power play sucks, so he goes, we're down our two best offensive defensemen. Screw it, I'm not putting a defenseman on the ice, which he should continue to do. And Jaffe can go Jaffe's examples, which Jaffe's saying, like, why coaches do it. Like, you know, like, this is the reason why coaches do it. But I think you got to think outside the box. I want them is just focus on offense. If there happens to be a breakaway or something, you know, so be it. But I like your chances a lot more. I mean, Marchand was on the point.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's the thing that I would think would confuse a penalty kill as good as Carolina has. You're used to David Pastrnak being in the left-wing circle. You're used to, you know, Patrice Bergeron as the bumper. You're used to Brad Marchand over on the right side. And now they're all moving around. And you have no, and they're interchangeable.
And the good news, too, is that you still got Jake DeBrusk being effective, despite him not being on the perfection line or up on the first line.
Greasy goal.
Aggressive. Just aggressive.
And
which is something, last word you would use to describe him, you know, at certain points before the end of the season.
Well, everything that was frustrating him about him being a player has not been a factor in the playoffs. He's done the opposite of it.
Yep. He's been excellent.
He's been extremely aggressive, and he's not afraid to get in front of the net.
It's pretty funny. Connor Ryan, he wrote something. He broke it down. He works for Mass Live. And he says, since Cassidy decided to stick with the Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak line midway through game second, that trio has logged 18 minutes and 44 seconds of 5-on-5 time on ice together. In that span, Boston leads in shot attempts 22-9, shots on goal 13-5, and goals scored 4-0. They have been dominant since they've been out there.
So you at least have to start the game with the perfection line back together. And since you're on the road, obviously you don't get last change. There's, you know, he might have to tweak it here and there, but at least keep it that way. And please keep the power play the way it is, at least until McAvoy returns.
Oh, now, when do they skate? In a couple minutes, right? Aren't we going to find out whether or not Lindholm's out there?
A little over an hour. I think it's 10:30 or 11 o'clock.
For some reason, I thought it was 9:30. Okay.
I think it's later.
All right. Well, you're going to know whether or not there's a chance Lindholm will play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would bet. I would bet he does.
I don't know. I thought Smart was going to play the way people. I don't. It's odd how these things work. It's a head injury, but I hope you're right. I really do. I really hope this team wins. Obviously, I really hope they do. I don't know if if they win this series, I don't know if I'd ever been in my history. And I know this is embarrassing for people. But my 17 years of being a fan of this team. I apologize for the years before that, for the 20 years before that. But in my 17 years of being a fan of this team, this might be the most surprised I've ever been of them winning a series. When they took Montreal to 7 games years before they won the Cup, That was shocking. But if they win this series, it might be the most surprised I've ever been. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Oh, Doctor Strange makes a lot of cash.
It's too strange.
There is a massive conspiracy regarding the balls in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's massive. And
they did the right thing if it's true.
Who controls the NFL? Let's just say that there's one ex-pizza slinger that thinks it's him.
You didn't give me a slice when you came in. I was starving. All right, hear that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, yeah, we're the Touchdown Rich radio program. Rich, what's going on?
Well, if you want to know who's truly controlling the NFL, it's not Roger Goodell. It's not the owners. It's a man by the name of Papa John. Papa John getting a lot of FaceTime lately, usually on networks that have Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, right next to him.
When you've been accused falsely, as he claims, of racist activity, you got to kind of find your crew. And Mike Lindell is going to be right there just saying, what do you want out of me? Let's do some blow and write some ideas on the wall.
But if you've ever wanted to know who the guy behind the guy behind the guy behind the guy is, the one just pulling all the strings, the Oz of the NFL, according to Papa John, it's him.
Goodell is a coward, and he is incompetent, and he's just lucky. Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys, Ingenui with PepsiCo, and Dan Snyder all called me, several other folks, about Goodell's conduct and the way he was handling this. Jones and Dan Snyder with the Redskins wanted Goodell fired. This is like the November the 31st or something. They called me and said, you need to take this guy out. You're the number one sponsor of the league as far as notoriety and acceptance and association. Everybody loves you. They love Peyton. We hate Goodell. Snyder says he sits on 57th Street all day long and drinks Chardonnay. He's a drunk, and yet we pay him $50 million a year. Snyder and Jones hate Goodell. I said, no, this is not my job to fire your commissioner. He works for you.
You need to. We need someone to take him out. Who do we call? Papa John.
Did he say November 31st? I think he said November 31st.
He was like, I was just in the backyard of wrestling bulls and shooting full card shots when the phone rang. At what point did they institutionalize this guy?
Jesus.
Because, I mean, just getting on the air and just like just lying.
Who do we go to? We need to take him out. Papa John.
I got a ragtag group. It's me,
Dave Thomas of Wendy's.
Yeah, it's the Noid. We're all going to go out there and take his
the Hamburglar.
Yeah.
He's a master of disguise.
Yeah, Grimace is the brains. But yeah, we're all going to get together. At what point do they just institutionalize this guy? Because it's not like Goodell's going to sue him. Like, sue him for 5 cents. Sue him and just get him all riled up. And by the way, if he's a drunk male drinking Chardonnay all day, eesh.
Wait, how much do you weigh? Like 5 pounds?
Yeah, you get drunk off wine, but how housewife of you? Chardonnay? You can deal with that buttery?
I just love the fact
you can just get on those shows and say whatever you want.
Oh,
on
the certain channels? Oh, yeah.
Oh, just whatever you want. Just lie, lie, lie. And he really, he thinks that everyone loved him because of the commercials. Hey, gang, I brought some pizza. Oh, yeah, and a pigskin. Whoosh.
That's right. Look, I love all
the mountain.
All the kids are fainting when you show up at their birthday party, how everyone thinks you're the best. Oh, who wrote those commercials? Oh, you did. That's right.
Oh, a guy who makes pizzas. But then again, my son went bonkers when the dude who collects all the balls at the games got the TikTok guy was there.
Speaking of balls at games, there is a brand new conspiracy theory that was floated by the New York Mets hitting coach, Eric Chavez. He recently told Tim Healy of Newsday that hitters suspect the baseball becomes curiously less deadened during nationally televised games.
Less deadened or more deadened? Deadened.
He says they become less deadened. He said in April, 2 days before they played Phillies on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, several hitters gave Chavez a heads up. Watch how the baseballs travel during the premier nationally televised game of the week. They heard that the balls in those games were in some way different. He said, I thought for a second, you guys are full of it, said Chavez. And then what happened, quote, the ball was traveling farther. Balls that weren't hit as hard. And I'm like, wait a minute, that shouldn't have happened. The ball was just traveling better. That was the eye test. But then we lined it up with what analytics were telling us, and it looked like there was a pattern. So the conspiracy is Major League Baseball puts in balls that travel further on the biggest games and in the biggest stages.
Well, that should be the opposite. They should deaden the ball and get a nice 2-hour and 45-minute game.
Sure. Or wouldn't you say that maybe if it's a nationally televised game, you just have teams with better hitters? You're not going to put like a team with crappy batters on a nationally televised game.
Depends on whether or not the team is successful because of their pitching staff.
By the way, getting a cab out of Fenway Park is they are no fan of going back to Newton. I don't know where they think they're going.
You got to walk down towards Kenmore.
Yes.
Don't do it near Fenway. No, you got to walk about 3 blocks to get a good cab.
You don't even have to. You can walk a block the other way. But if you try to do it right on the street that is at the whatever street that Brookline Ave. If you try to do it there, I mean, first of all, they're all maniacs, and second of all, they're like Newton Center, 50 bucks. Well, I'm not giving you $50 to go to Newton Center. And then you, I'm wondering, like, where do you want to keep it in the city? Because good luck that people are going to the city, or do you want it like super far away?
I'm a big fan of the rickshaw.
Yeah, but I can't take a rickshaw 9 miles.
I'm sure you can. Just give the guy a nice, $10 tip.
Yeah. I wouldn't feel guilty at all.
Okay. No, you pay the rickshaw guys well. But the rickshaw can bring you to your parking spot if you want to, the Prudential.
I'm not parking any. That's what money's for. I'm not parking at those games. That's crazy. That's the last thing I want to do. I just want to get dropped off. That's it.
Well, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
It's too strange. Calm it down.
Had a fantastic weekend. $185 million total. I found it very, very hard to get a ticket. I went Saturday morning and I bought the tickets on Friday and almost couldn't get a seat. I was third to the front.
Saturday morning.
Saturday at 1.
Oh, okay.
It was the first IMAX showing of the day, and I was third row to see that.
Oh.
It's mad. And yes, and Bird was correct. There are many sparklers, much fire as well.
Moving things by making particular hand movements.
Not bad. Not bad. It was definitely my youngest son was not ready for the violence. So it kind of took him a little bit by surprise.
Isn't it all like computer stuff, though? Like throwing buildings and the like?
There's a lot of that, but there's also like straight up mutilation.
Oh.
Which is, by far, it's the most violent Marvel movie. It's a horror movie. There's certain parts of it you're like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Matter of fact, I had read like about a year and a half ago when they announced that they were making this, that they were making a horror movie, and that's why they brought Sam Raimi in. But if you're a fan of some of his earlier stuff, like The Evil Dead, then this has got a lot. I mean, there's a lot of similarities. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. It doesn't feel like, because Marvel movies, many of them just kind of started to feel the same. That's why Ragnarok was good, because it was like a straight up comedy. And it had a different tone than all the other ones. This is the same one. Is it a great movie? No. But it's definitely one that stands out among the rest of them, just because it's so unashamedly violent. And they just be killing people in that one.
Yeah, they did a list in the AV Club of the Sam Raimi's films.
I saw it, and it was pretty. And it's funny because you go through it, you forget how many great movies that he made.
And how many Clunkers.
Like, well, I mean, just the very end, like the Oz. He made one Oz movie, which was obviously a clunker.
And then the baseball movie.
A simple plan with Billy Bob Thornton and Bill Paxton is excellent. And I forgot, I totally forgot he did that movie, and that's near the top of the list as well.
Yeah.
I think they had it number one was Evil Dead. Evil Dead 2?
Evil Dead 2.
Okay, well, Evil Dead 2. I think that Army of Darkness is my favorite. Evil Dead 2 is up there as well. But also Spider-Man. I forgot Darkman was one that he did as well. Not too shabby.
I thought Darkman was the one with Damon Wayans.
No, that's Blank Man. Yeah. There's Blank Man with Damon, which I never saw. But no,
well, I don't think it could be made today.
A lot of those movies from the...
Well, it was Blank Man was about... What do you? I don't know the term to use now. It's about someone who is a very great person that doesn't have the intelligence of most people that... That is a superhero was the whole idea behind it.
No, Darkman was the Liam Neeson movie.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
I walked out of that.
Where it was the dude from, who's the fat guy?
Seriously.
Who's the fat guy, bad guy?
That guy from L.A. Law.
Yeah, Dr. Giggles?
Yeah, L.A. Law.
Who played the killer dentist in that movie?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's
I lasted
right.
about a half an hour, and I walked out of it.
Have you ever seen any of the Evil Dead movies?
No.
Oh, okay. Evil Dead 2's excellent.
Neither have I.
Oh, you see, you'd actually like Evil Dead. Evil Dead, the first one's good, but the second, you know what? If you read about how low of a budget they had to make the Evil Dead and how they had to get inventive, and there's a lot of film techniques that they created that people still use today. Like they basically took one of the main stars and built like a wooden, almost like an X, and they strapped the guy to it. And then they put a camera facing in front of him and got this big crane and drove the crane as fast as they could through the woods and spun it at the same time. So it looks like he's getting smashed by a bunch of trees while he's flying. It's unbelievable. They made it for, I think it was something like $50,000-$60,000. And it's one of the best looking horror movies for its time.
Yeah. It certainly got its fan base.
Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of sparklers. So there you go, Bird. Congratulations. You got that part right.
Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
You need a bigger collar. All right. And the Celtics are tonight.
Yep.
Yes. Don't have to wait much longer for
every other
games.
Day. Celtics Bruins.
There you go. All the games can be heard here.
Right here.
Right here on your friendly sports talk radio station.
Or rock radio station. Depends on what affiliate you're on.
Yeah, but then they might not be getting the games.
It's a problem with being syndicated as much as we are.
One of them gets the Brewers.
Let's focus on the station that pays. If you're listening to this is the big one, you get the games tonight. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.